Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
Like scary movies.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and Halloween. And even Duff McKagan is getting into the spirit. He's got a Halloween twofer for us for the super spooky, scary joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you on this Halloween week. I got a Halloween twofer for you. First of all, what's a cow with a cold say? Boo. Okay, that was what makes trick-or-treating with twin witches so challenging, Chris Jericho. You never know which is which. You never know which is which when twin witches. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
I like that. You never know which is which. Oh, Duff is the best. Happy Halloween from Duff McKagan and all of us here on Talk is Jericho. Make sure to tell that one during your Zoom video Halloween party tomorrow night if you have some. And if you live in Los Angeles and are looking for some adult Halloween fun, go hang out with the Last Drive-In crew, Joe Bob Briggs and Darcy the Mail Girl, who also happens to be my guest today. We're actually going to hear from Joe Bob as well. They're hosting the Haunted Drive-In Spooktacular at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena on Halloween night, October 31st. There's going to be a horror movie film festival, a full-on zombie attack, and a chance to safely meet Joe Bob, Darcy, and the crew, get some autographs, take some pictures. They're following all the COVID rules and CDC guidelines, so you can enjoy Halloween at the drive-in. See some great horror movie shorts, get attacked by zombies. On Saturday night, doors open at 8 p.m. Reserve your spot at joebobshaunteddrivein.com. Use the promo code DRIVEIN10 to save $10 off admission. That's joebobshaunteddrivein.com. So go check that out if you're in the LA area and get ready for the top 10 horror movies as chosen by me and Darcy the Mail Girl as well. We both put together a list of our top 10 favorite horror movies in no particular order. We also included a few honorable mentions because it was very hard to just pick 10. We're going to go down our lists, reveal our picks, explain our reasoning, and share some great trivia about those movies. And by the time this show is over, you'll have 20 great horror movie suggestions to have your own private film festival tomorrow night on Halloween. Actually, the whole weekend is Halloween weekend. Actually, you're going to have more than 20, though, because we have a bunch of additional picks from Corey Taylor, Rich Ward, AEW's The Blade and Alley, Siren drummer Ed Aborn, and, of course, Joe Bob Briggs of The Last Drive-In, the expert on these type of films. He sent his picks in as well, his top three. And that's where we're going to start today. Joe Bob Briggs and his top three must-see horror flicks.
I'm Joe Bob Briggs, and if I had to name three of my favorite horror films, it would be Basket Case would be number three, and Hellraiser would be number two. And there's no question about number one, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The 1974 one, not any of the other 17 of them.
So it is Halloween season, and you know the theory and the theme of Talk is Jericho. During Halloween is we always make some very scary shows. This is number two in the week of Halloween, and we're going to talk about the top 10 horror movies of all time with Darcy the Mail Girl from The Last Drive-In. Joe Bob Briggs is a partner in crime.
Hey.
And you know... about as much as... Actually, you know way more about certain horror movies than I do. You're kind of an expert. You, like, you and Eli Roth are the two kind of go-tos for horror movies that I've met.
Wow, that was a huge compliment coming from you. Thank you.
So that's why I thought, well, if we're going to try and figure out the top 10, we did a Stephen King top 10 a few months ago with Jojo Feeney, who's also a huge fan. That's where you get some great perspectives. But this is such, obviously, a much broader spectrum than Stephen King.
Yeah, this is hard, man.
Like, we didn't have any rules of no certain genres. I mean, whatever your definition of horror is. And I just started writing them down and then started kind of refiguring it and recapsulating
it.
And, you know, it's like, which one do I choose and which one do I take away? So we decided that it's going to be top 10 with two or three honorable mentions.
So did you go top 10 that you like personally or think are the best?
Well, my favorite.
Okay,
yeah, the top 10 horror movies according to me.
Cool.
Because if someone else tells me that, you know, The Exorcist is the best ever,
ugh,
I don't rate it. So I would say that's your opinion, but not mine, right? So
right. This
is our top 10 favorites. But how did you even start to make your list?
Well, the first few were really easy because, you know.
All-time favorites, you just go right straight to it.
Yeah. So then it's like, well, I just need a couple more. And then it's like, ah. Mm-hmm. But like narrowing it down to a couple more is so hard.
Yeah, it really is. And that's why we said, okay, because these are not in order, except for the...
I was actually mad at you when you said that, like it was a cop-out to not do in order, but I'm actually really happy because that would have been so hard.
If, like, if you want to do them in order, you're welcome to it.
No.
Yeah, because that makes it even harder to try and figure that out, right? So that's why I was thinking, the number one, the top one, should be your absolute favorite. But other than that, the rest is pretty much kind of...
It's good enough that they're in there.
All across the board, yeah, because I've seen... I don't know, 300, 400, 500, 1,000 horror movies. I'm sure you've probably seen just as many, if not more, in so many different styles and genres and all that sort of stuff. So we'll discuss them as we continue on. Because last drive-in, you've just finished filming season 2, 3?
Yeah, I guess I could say that. Because we had everything's different because of COVID. So we had to
film
everything in a big chunk. So, we just finished season 3 and the Halloween special is coming out. I guess, when is there?
This is it's October 30th today.
Oh, okay. Then...
Halloween special
already aired. Sorry.
But do we know when the third season is going to start?
Well, I don't know how much I'm supposed to say of it.
Okay,
we have a couple specials coming up.
We know we got
before
some specials.
The season starts.
Gotcha. Okay. And I was involved in season 2, and I'm not going to say what movie it is, but trust me when I say that movie is not on the list of the greatest movies of all time.
Well, do you mean season 2 or season 3?
Am I season 3?
You did.
Both. Yeah. I missed season 1. Well, whichever the newest season is.
Yes.
That's the one where the movie is definitely not on this list.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I did it because I'm a friend of the show.
I appreciate it.
So let's just jump in here, I think, Darcy. And I'm going to go with my honorable mentions first. And I'm not going to say them all at once. We can kind of go back and forth. And when you give your opinion, we can discuss for a bit.
All right.
But I'm going for it's a very kind of almost an obscure horror movie from Ty West. It's called House of the Devil. From about 2009. Have you ever seen it?
Of course. We showed it on the show.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought the movie was great. You didn't like it?
That's all right.
You thought it was boring?
Right. Yeah, kind of. I know a lot of people love it. It's just not my personal style. It has cute moments, but it's kind of like...
Gotcha. Well, it's not on your list. It's on mine. And I love it because it's very slow moving, but it captures a really cool vibe of, like, you know, it's kind of a late 80s type of a show. They use the fix for the music, and they have, like, you know, D. Wallace Stone is in it as the landlord. And of course, it just leads to this chick who is taking a babysitting gig in a remote farmhouse because she needs some extra money for her new apartment. And the farmhouse is inhabited by demonic people, shall we say, and you know, it leads to a very crazy ending. But I really like that movie. But like you said, it's a slow one. You know, it's almost like The Shining or something, which is not on this list. But if you...
Shining's not on your list?
It's not on my list. But that's my first honorable mention. What's your first honorable mention?
My first honorable mention, I'm going to go Pet Sematary 2.
Ooh. With Edward Furlong.
Yes.
Why 2 over 1?
I love both, but part 2 is just so much, I don't know, it's just fun and silly. And I would recommend that to anyone.
And part 2 is kind of uncharted waters, too, because there's no book to read.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So it was like a surprise when I saw it. And it was like, this is fucking
awesome. So it's interesting
that
when they do a sequel to a book that hasn't been written. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's completely like that.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Like it, too?
I like the movie, yeah. I might go with Pet Sematary 1 just because of that scene with Gabe, where he
oh Lord,
there's no
that's
spoilers
I
on the show.
Can't go with it's so terrible. It's so sad.
Oh, it just cuts his Achilles right there. Herman Munster goes down.
Oh, that.
Oh, you're talking about the kid getting. Yeah, that's a terrible
both of
scene.
Them. Yeah, it's
terrible
rough.
Scene. Another. I'm just going to throw it in the honorable mention category is Amityville Horror 2: The Possession.
Okay.
With Burt Young, and the reason why this is on my list, even though when I looked it up today, it has a Rotten Tomatoes rating of 11%.
Wow.
But here's the reason why it will always stand up for me. This might be the same for some of your choices. I saw this movie in the theater when I was a kid. So I remember going for my friend's birthday party or something, and there was a run of movies. One movie we went to was First Blood, the original Rambo, right. And then a couple weeks later, some other kid's birthday, and it was Amityville Horror 2. So when you're like, you know, 1982, when I was 11 years old, and you go see a movie where, you know, the brother gets possessed and shoots and kills his mom and dad and his brother and his sister, and it's pretty hardcore. That's pretty, and especially under the guise of demonic possession. And I grew up, you know, Ukrainian Catholic, where, you know, demons and demonic possession was something that was discussed. So I've always been, and you'll see by my list, I've always been a little bit freaked out by demonic movies, possession movies, more so than monster movies, because to me, possession movies could be real.
Yeah, anything that involved religion always freaked me out.
Yeah, because you never quite know. Like, if you read the yes. Bible or know anything, there is people that succumb to this stuff. So,
for sure.
Yeah, like I said, I would never watch it back now. Like, I used to love Batman when I was a kid, the series. Bang, bam, boom, ba-na-na-na-na-na. I'd never watch it again because I know it's for little kids, but this one might be.
No, you should watch it.
Actually,
it's still great. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
It's still great. It holds up.
You're probably friends. You were probably friends with Adam West.
Aw, well, I talked to him a few times anyway.
All right, what do you got for your next honorable mention? How many honorable mentions do you have, by the way?
Well, I narrowed it down to three because that's what you said, but that was really hard too.
I might have actually made a mistake and had four for mine, but go ahead.
I'll allow it.
All right, thank you.
Mine is one that I thought was going to be in my top 10, but I did rewatch it, and that was a mistake. So now it's down to honorable mention, which is Sorority House Massacre 2.
Wow. Is that the one? Oh, that's not Slumber Party Massacre.
No.
That one sucks.
I know you hate that one. Yeah. And you actually made me like it a little bit less. So thanks for that.
So what happens in Sorority House Killers?
It's pretty straightforward, but it was like, kind of the way you did, it was like the first kind of like real TNA type drive-in horror
which
movie.
I love.
Right, no, and this one has like amazing TNA. It's like great. It's Jim Wynorski, who's like known for that, and he just rocks. It has like Savannah porn star
oh,
stuff.
Wow.
Like, yeah, so it's like super classic, but also it has an actual interesting plot and some humorous moments, not enough to be like horror comedy,
mm-hmm.
but still. Really just entertaining. And
it's interesting to me, like, we have a club with some of my friends where we watch, like, 80s teen sex comedies. And it's amazing how many of them there are, for one, and how many of them I never saw. You know, it's the same thing with, like, the 80s teen sex comedies and 80s horror movies were neck and neck. And I have not seen this movie before.
You've never seen this?
No.
Holy shit.
I got to check it out.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Definitely do.
Sorority.
You're going to like it.
Sorority House Massacre.
The only problem is it doesn't have, like, the kill scenes are kind of, like, off camera, which is, like, you know, blood splattered on the wall. But if it didn't have that, then it'd be, like,
but still,
A+.
Though. Because, I mean, some of them, the kill scenes, as we'll discuss, one of my favorites later, the kill scenes are awful. But, you know, sometimes maybe it's better if it was
well,
just
I took
off-screen.
Points off for an off-screen kill, but everything
okay.
else is great.
Okay. I'm going to go my next honorable mention, House of 1,000 Corpses.
Nice.
I equate it to a wrestling match where the heel gets the heat at the beginning, then the heel gets the heat in the middle, and then the heel gets the heat at the end and then kills all the baby faces. The end.
Okay.
Like, there's nothing good happens to anybody in this movie.
No, yeah. It's.
And the first time I saw it, I was like just disgusted. Like, what the fuck is this? And I'm friends with Chris Hardwick and Rainn Wilson. Who are both in that movie. And I think it's Rain that gets turned into a half man,
ooh,
half
yeah,
fish.
Yeah, right away.
And Hardwick gets like his hair like cut off with a scalpel.
Yeah,
and it's just like,
those are brutal, man.
It dress up in a bunny. And it's just so awful, you know. And but in retrospect, it's one of those movies that you can't stop thinking about. And you just realize like Rob is really committed to this, to do this. Because it makes you feel dirty watching it. It's like watching a snuff film or something.
I had that experience when I first saw it. I was like, oh, man, like, this is just wrong and too much. Like, this is over the edge. But then you can't stop thinking about it. And you go back and watch it. And it's like, well,
yeah,
I can see the merits in this. And now that it's been, like, so many years later since it came out, it's like, No, I freaking love it. Like, what was I ever thinking? Well, yeah, it's not too much at all.
It's also one of those ones that his first movie, in my opinion, was his best. Like, he's made some other good ones, but to me, that's still the one that I always go back to.
It's my favorite, too.
You know, it's like so, like, ooh.
But, it's so different than the others.
It really is. It really is. And like I said, just the fact that, like, there's no happy ending for that one if you guys are watching at home. So I think that's my third honorable mention. How about you?
I'm going to go with Urban Legend.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a call.
I don't know. I just like it. It's underrated. I think I'm shocked when I mention it and people haven't even heard of it. I'm like, are you kidding? Like the opening scene, it had me from there with Brad Dourif. Just misunderstood, trying to help. But anyway, I don't want to give away spoilers.
I don't remember. The one thing I remember that movie was the Pop Rocks.
Oh my God, yeah. I was so scared of Pop Rocks and soda after I saw it. And I finally tried it. It didn't kill me.
Didn't kill you. Yeah, because the theme of the movie is that urban legends that actually kill people. And the urban legend is if you drink Pop Rocks with Coca-Cola or something like that.
I had never heard of that until I saw the movie. And then I was like,
I remember hearing something about that. Because wasn't there another one too where like you look in the mirror and say like, Hail Mary or something.
Bloody Mary.
I remember that one.
I was really scared doing that. And Candyman.
Candyman.
Anything looking in the mirror is just fucking scary.
Just comes behind you, yeah.
Hey, this is Corey Taylor, and these are my top 10 horror movies of all time. Probably in no particular order. Let's go with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the OG. That's so good. It's just over the top and ridiculous and funny and fun and it's crazy scary. Exorcist 3, I know this is under the radar, but it's got one of the best jump scares of all time in it, and George C. Scott's the shit. Dawn of the Dead, the original. Flyboy is the perfect anti-hero. Lost Boys, Joel Schumacher's gem. Incredible, made me want to be a vampire so bad. Trick or Treat, the original from 1986. Sammy Kerr is the heavy metal monster, so rad. Horror of Dracula, the Hammer film from 1958. 62 years later, it's still rad, and I challenge anyone to prove me wrong. Aliens, I know the first one's amazing, but the second one is so over the top and yet still scary that it's just rad. From Dusk Till Dawn, the ultimate gonzo horror movie, starts out one way, ends up another, and you're still left thinking, Jesus Christ, what the hell happened? And then the last two are John Carpenter's masterpieces. John Carpenter's The Thing, to this day, just an absolute clinic in tension and practical special effects. And the first one, the granddaddy of them all, John Carpenter's Halloween, is amazing. And it's the blueprint for how to do a tense, crazy, scary horror movie. And that's it.
All right, you guys know that I travel every week for AEW, and I'm on the road for Fozzy as well. But I don't worry about appliances or any of the stuff at my house breaking down while I'm gone, because we've got American Home Shield. And truthfully, I'm not a fix-it-myself guy anyway, so even if I was home and we had a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater, I'm not the one who's going to fix it. And unexpected breakdowns like that won't break your bank with American Home Shield warranty, because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. You just choose a plan that works for you and your budget, and then when a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage in your agreement. Right now, you can get 20% off. Just go to ahs.com/Jericho and save that 20%. That's ahs.com/Jericho for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield, don't worry, be warranty. See ahs.com/contracts. For coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home or building manufacturer.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are about to enter a world of darkness. A world where life and death are meaningless and pain is God. Let's go. Yeah.
Okay, so I think I'm going to actually just make sure I'm going to erase them as I go. 1, 2, 3. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Oh, wait. Sorry, I got one more. One more honorable mention because I made a mistake. I'm going to go with Zombie, also known as Zombie 2, Lucio Fulci.
As an honorable mention?
As an honorable mention. I took one out to put that in there, and I think you might agree with me. Okay. But, and once again, honorable mentions could be in the top 10 anyways. I think the only reason why Zombie 2, Zombie with an I, is not top for me is a big, long, typical 70s, late 70s horror movie section
Slowness.
Where nothing happens.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about slow. Like, this is just slow for the sake of slow. Like, nothing goes on. But it does have one of the best kills in history, which, of course, is the famous eyeball into the splintered wood, which I think I rented it in probably 1982 or 1983. It was one of the first, like, super gross deaths that I ever saw.
Yeah, and of course the zombie and the shark.
That's great.
Classic, man.
Underwater zombie fighting a shark. And I'm wondering, because
the zombie wins.
So does he kill the shark, or is there now zombie sharks we got to worry about?
I don't know. Zombie shark movies.
Is that Zombie Sharknado will be the next one. Look out. Keep it away from sci-fi. All right, it's the official top 10 here on the top 10 best horror movies of all time. And Darcy, you are going to start with your number 10.
My number 10 in no particular order.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Actually, this is when I need your help because I can't decide.
Okay.
I originally put down Frankenstein because it's classic.
The original?
And yeah. Okay. But then that reminded me of Frankenhooker.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, do I add Frankenstein or Frankenhooker? Like, there's so one's an honorable mention, one's official top 10, and I don't know which is which.
I'm not going to ever put Frankenhooker over Frankenstein.
It's so good, though.
It is good. And now it's one of those ones that you mentioned. I'm like, oh, it could have been on mine. But Frankenstein, I mean,
it's
that's
so classic.
That's classic. Yeah. And I appreciate you picking one of the classics because I did not do that. But I would have to say Frankenstein. And have you ever seen the edited part that I just saw it on Twitter? You might have posted it.
With
the little girl?
Yeah. I've only actually ever seen that version. I've never seen the censored version.
Was that ever? Okay, maybe that wasn't censored.
It was, like, originally when it first came out because it was so affected people so much. But now I think a lot of the versions have it included.
He basically is playing with the little girl, and she's playing with a flower, and he plays with the flower, and then he grabs her like she's a flower and throws her in the lake, and she drowns.
She dies. Yeah,
but that's in the book, though. Yeah. Have you ever read that book? I can't remember who actually wrote it. I don't remember. But that. Oh, Shelley. Shelley, Johnny Shelley or whatever his name is.
I think it's...
Was it Mary Shelley?
It is, yeah.
Is that what it is? It's not
but
one of those...
you know, Johnny Shelley probably had part in it.
It's not one of those weird 1800s movies where Mary Shelley is a guy. Like, Mary is a guy's name.
No.
It's written by a girl. Okay.
It's a girl.
Which is probably crazy when you think about it, the fact that she was able to publish that. Like, back in those days, they didn't let women do a lot.
For sure.
Never mind make a
horror
movie.
She was groundbreaking.
Yeah, absolutely. Good call on that. I'm going to go number 10, and this is one that just made it just a little bit over Zombie. That would be Terrifier.
Ooh.
By far the creepiest killer in a movie in years, 20 years, 25 years. That guy, David Howard Thornton, I think his name is.
He's so bad.
It's unbelievable. And the thing about it, he did talk as Jericho, and he said that he did a couple years at playing the Grinch in theater for Christmas.
Really?
And if you see how he plays, he's very Grinchy, once you notice that. Very much the Grinch.
I can totally see that.
Right now that you know that.
He has some amazing kills.
He never talks. He leans into his gimmick. He's riding a tricycle and honking his little horn.
Yes.
And the thing that's so, like, when he kills somebody, he doesn't just kill them. He, like, stabs them 100 times. Like the guy in the diner or pizza place, just like, pop, 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 pop. Completely insanely crazy, and like you said, some of the best kills, including probably the best kill that we've seen in a while, which is the lady's upside down in a very uncompromised position and not good. And one, it's another one of those ones too where, like, none of the good guys live. Like, you know, there's no spoiler alerts on this, so don't get on my case.
I know, it's hard to know what to say.
Yeah, it's almost like a House of a Thousand Corpses. Like, basically, everyone dies.
No.
Yeah.
No happy ending here.
There isn't. Number 9.
For me, I went Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, wow.
And that one was really hard because I had to put some Christmas movie, I felt, because I love holiday horror.
Right.
And I was really torn between Santa's Sleigh and Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Santa's Sleigh with Goldberg?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I love that movie.
I've never seen it.
It's so... Oh, God. It's so fun. But, like, Silent Night, Deadly Night, I went because it's classic, too. Like, it just... spawned so many other films. So,
well, that's the thing too. It's another very creepy movie because it's about this, you know, a guy who sees his parents or dad, yeah, parents killed by Santa, by some, like, murder, crazy psycho Santa, and then becomes a crazy psycho Santa.
It's like actually really emotional. Like I feel really bad for him.
I agree. I agree with that.
Which is part of why it stands out for me so great.
And once again, those are the type of movies when you feel something, like you said, like even going back to House of a Thousand Corpses, it's not an easy watch. You feel it when you see it. And that's what I felt with Silent Night, Deadly Night too. Like I said, once again, there's so many movies from that time frame between 81 and 85 that are so, you know, worthy of being on this list, you know? All right, I'm going to go with, and once again, they're in no order, but I can't name some of these too close to the top. So I'm going to go with a J-horror representation from Takashi Miike, talking about Audition.
Really?
Yes. Have you seen Audition?
I have.
Oh my gosh, that is another one that just creeps me out. It's about this guy who he's a widow and he decides to date again. So he holds fake auditions to be his girlfriend. And he decides on this one girl who's just a complete raging psycho. And she ends up cutting off his foot by tightening up piano wire. And all she's doing is, I don't know what the word is in Japanese, but she's going, ticka, 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 ticka.
It always sounds like kitty, kitty, kitty.
Yeah, ticka, 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 ticka. And it's just this fucking psycho. It's so brutal. Like, the scariest moment is he finds all these clues, like, you know, a guy with prosthetic legs and a guy with two fingers and this and other thing. And then finally you see her and she has nothing in her apartment other than a phone and a big bag. And eventually the bag moves and you find out she's keeping a person in there who's like now her slave, like a dog, and it wants food. He's got no tongue, no feet. And she pukes in a dog bowl and he eats it like it's a freaking flaming
so hardcore.
It's
stuff
terrible,
in there.
Man. Yeah, I can't. It's one of those ones. I saw it once. I never forgot it, and I don't think I can see it again. Kevin Smith's Tusk was like that. Have you seen Tusk?
I've not seen it all the way through.
Same type of thing where it's so ridiculous, but you can't stop thinking about it. And it's like, oh, imagine if that was you. Like you actually got turned into some kind of a animal. Like,
that guy is so creepy.
Super creepy. It's like Reek on Game of Thrones. I can't remember what the guy's Tyrion. Is it Tyrion or Theron? When he just turns him into like a house pet. It's just like, creeps me out.
What's up, Jericho? It is the Bunny.
And the Blade.
And we have our lists here. We actually compiled two lists because we could not agree on the movies, even though we do have some crossovers.
There's a couple.
There's a couple. Okay, so I'm going to go first. These are not in any order. I could not number them because I love them all so much. But here we go. A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3. I love Freddy in this one. He's so snarky and such an asshole, and it is one of my favorite movies of all time. Number two, we've got Jaws, which still scares the crap out of me. And not seeing the shark throughout the entire movie, except for kind of like near the end, I thought was so brilliantly done, even though that wasn't really what they originally wanted. The third is Night of the Creeps. I absolutely love this movie. One of my favorite lines ever. Thrill me. It just, any question, just thrill me. Just thrill me. Next one is Scream, one of my favorite movies. The Monster Squad, I rented that movie every single weekend when I was a little kid. I was completely obsessed and wanted to be in the Monster Squad very badly. The next one is The Lost Boys, my favorite vampire movie ever. It's so good. We actually just did two rewatches of it recently. OG Halloween, 1978, one of the best, scariest movies, still holds up to this day. And it has one of the best final girls ever. Laurie kicks some serious ass in that movie. Next up, we have Psycho. I think it still holds up. It's still super, super creepy. Love that movie. Next one is Prince of Darkness. Even though it came out moons ago, it still scares the crap out of me. I think it is one of the creepiest movies of all time. And the final one is Return of the Living Dead. I love Tarman. Tarman is my favorite. I think one of my favorite horror movie characters for sure.
All right, here is the Blade's top 10, again, in no particular order. I also have the original Halloween. It's the perfect movie. Number two, I have more recent, it's Mandy with Nicolas Cage. I actually saw that in the theater with Andy the Butcher, and the Mandy actually has a lot of influence on our Butcher and Blade characters. And number three would be The Lost Boys. We just rewatched it recently, and I realized I know that movie line for line, scene for scene. It's perfect. It's so good. Number four is Evil Dead Part 2. We also just rewatched recently, and it's just, I love the campiness and the hokiness. It's such a fun movie. And then I'll just follow that up with number five being Army of Darkness, the follow-up. Number six, I also have Return of the Living Dead. It's just hokey, campy, fun. Number 7, I have the original Alien. A lot of people can probably consider it more sci-fi, but I
think the original is a horror movie.
Yeah, it's got more.
It almost made my list, too. Element. It's one of the best.
Number 8 is the original. I like a lot of OGs, too. I have the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Number 9, more hokey fun with Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2.
So good.
And then number 10 is the original Jaws. Again, just one of the most perfect movies ever made. And there you go.
First, they tried burning me. Then, they tried burying me. But this is my favorite. They even tried holy water. But I just keep on ticking.
What's next?
For me, I have Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Warriors.
Ooh, good one.
Is it?
Great theme.
You're not a big fan, are you?
I'm not a big fan of the Friday movies, but that one's one that I remember because of the theme.
The theme's badass, yeah. Yes, but it's so good. The Dream Warriors are like, you know, misfits banding together. And
so they band together against Freddy?
Yeah. They don't do a great job, but but they have heart.
They all
heart.
Die at the end.
Yes. Yeah.
You gotta have heart. All right. What's the best kill in Dream Warriors?
Man, it's got like the one where he has like tendons make him a marionette.
Oh,
just
wow.
Is
that's
so
creepy,
hard though. To watch. You remember that? Oh, God. The first time I saw it, I was just like,
just because I don't.
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Just because I don't like rate them, I've seen probably all the way up until 6. Actually, if Freddy versus Jason is 7, I saw that too. So that's probably all of them. But here's where I lost it. I can't remember which one it was where he serves up a piece of pizza and all the pepperonis are.
That's why I became
souls.
A vegetarian.
Well, yeah, and that's why I became a non Freddy 13th Tarian.
Oh, Freddy. But why? You just think that's stupid?
I just thought it was dumb, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like traumatic.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of patience for that. Okay, it's my turn. I'm going with, there's two of these. It's the only one where I picked two from the same series, but they both get me, and it's going back to the possession thing. I'm going to go with Omen, The Omen.
Okay.
The Omen. Because it's, once again, talking about the Antichrist, which is something that we all heard about when we were kids, and it was right around the, you know, Number of the Beast, Iron Maiden, and all that sort of stuff. And even though it was back in 76 when it came out, when I was a kid, my parents went to see that in the movies. And when they came home, like I said, a babysitter or whatever, I woke up and my mom was checking my head through my hair to see if I had the Number of the Beast.
My mom did that to me too.
Really?
Yes. Because I was born June 6th at 6 a.m. And she was like,
that's insane.
Convinced.
Right on the
like,
money?
Right on the money.
That's
right
crazy.
On the money. I know. She's like, yeah,
you were born June 6th at 6 a.m.
Yes, sir.
That's a little bit, yeah.
You demon. It was meant to be.
Demon. That's crazy. So, yeah, the thing is with The Omen, though, as well, is it really holds up. It's a great movie. It's just enough 70s movies like The Wicker Man, for example, are still super creepy because they've got that 70s type, I don't know if it's funk or class or there's something to it. And plus, it's filmed in England, so it's got a little bit of weirdness from there too. But just the whole storyline behind it, and how the guy basically realizes that his son is the son of Satan, Gregory Peck, in a great performance, great kills in that with the priest, with the things that everybody knows, the priest getting the steeple falling through him.
Yes, traumatized me.
Traumatizing, yeah, and the photographer who takes pictures that everybody has the thing.
I could never look at pictures after I saw that movie. I'm like, I will see death. Yeah. Like, I'm not looking at photos.
You got decapitated, and then when they jump the fence to find the skeleton of the jackal, and then the demon dogs come, and Gregory jumps over the fence, but gets caught on the spike, and it goes right through his armpit. And it's like, that's some serious shit for a 70s movie.
It's true.
Like, it's terrifying. Like, now we think, like, whatever. Like, can you imagine 1976, my mom watching that movie? I bet you she was freaked. No wonder she checked my head after. She'd probably freak completely out. Yeah, that was a creepy one. And it's funny because one of the horror conventions, actually Atlantic City, where we did the podcast with Joe Bob,
the guy Harvey Stevens, who played Damien as a 5-year-old, was there.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and he was a big fan of mine. He came and got an autograph for his kids, and then I got an autograph of him.
Aw.
And he's like, he looks the exact same as he has gray hair now. And he's older, you know?
That's so sweet.
What's your next?
Mine is Pumpkinhead.
Ooh. I haven't seen that one in a long time.
Oh, God. I just love that one so much. It's another one where it's like, you get so emotionally invested that like you feel so much during it. And then it has the coolest monster in the history of monsters.
Wow,
to back it up. Yeah, it's my favorite monster. He's so cool looking.
And what is Pumpkinhead? Is he a demon?
Mm-hmm. Like a vengeance demon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen that in a long time.
You need to rewatch it.
I do. It reminds me of another one from the mid-70s I remember seeing on TV. They used to show a lot of movies on TV that would freak you out. It was Night of the Scarecrow.
Oh, that's a good one.
With Charles Durning. Yeah. He killed the mentally handicapped child. And then I don't know if he comes back from the grave or he comes back to kill all the guys.
It's a lot that like murdered that. Him. Yeah.
It's pretty heavy. Those 70s movies are messed up, man. All right. Next one. I'm going to save that one. I'll go with this one first. It might be a little bit controversial. Dawn of the Dead. The remake.
Hmm.
I think the remake of Dawn of the Dead, Zack Snyder's version, is better than Romero's, only because Romero boasts that 70s, as we spoke about 45 minutes where nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
This one never does that. And it's got what I love, another movie that I chose is on this, where the zombies aren't stalking, walking. They are chasing you, yeah. And they will f-ing murder you.
I think a lot of people will agree with you on that one. A lot of people like it better.
Yeah? Do, mm-hmm. do you feel the same?
I can see arguments for both, yeah. I think it depends on which day you ask me.
Yeah,
so today I'll agree with you.
I still remember seeing the original Dawn of the Dead. It's still one of the best kills ever is when the zombie's coming from behind and the chopper's going and whoever's the characters doesn't see the zombie coming and the zombie walks up a box and the top of the chopper nicks the top of his head off and he just falls down.
That's amazing.
What do you got next?
Prom Night 2.
Ah, Hello Mary Lou.
Yes, sir. Which I kind of converted you to, right?
Yeah. You gave me some pointers on that one. That's got a really great kill in it.
Which one?
The locker room.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what am I thinking? That's my favorite kill of, like, probably ever. Yeah, like, the minute I saw that movie, I was just hooked. Actually, I saw the commercials for it, and I was like, one day I'll get to see that movie, and it's going to be amazing. And it was.
Yeah, it's actually really good. It's a Canadian movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much better than the original Prom Night, too.
Well, that's the thing. It seems like there was a lot of movies at that time frame that were sequels only in name.
Yeah. Maybe this was definitely supposed to be not anything to do with it, and they kind of slapped
it. Easier to sell it that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is another great kill in that one?
Well, I remember at the beginning where they made the one chick make it look like she hanged herself because she was pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty
That's pretty heavy stuff.
I know, right?
Like, what the hell is going on in the 80s where all these moral issues are coming after us? It's like, we just want to see some kills. Okay, so next one for me. Now, I'm almost getting kind of in order, but I'm going to go with Train to Busan, which is one that I suggested you to watch for a long time.
I know.
And you finally watched it, and what'd you think?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you still didn't watch it?
No, I never did get around to it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. It is, you're going to watch it at some point.
I'm absolutely going to watch it. It's on the top of my to-watch list.
It's a K-horror, not to be confused with J-horror, a Korean horror movie, where, once again, the zombies are fast and they're quick, but this is one where they're all on a train. And, you know, car by car by car, but these things are insane. And then that's another one, too, where you will cry when you watch this movie.
That's my hesitation, honestly, is everyone says that. And I don't want that much emotion. Like, just give me some zombie kills, man.
But the Japanese and the Koreans really make heartful films, shall we say. And this one is one of them. Like, you will be... I showed it to my daughters, and they're like, "Dad, why don't you show us that? It's terrible." But it's so amazing. And the sequel, Peninsula, just came out during the pandemic, and it's the first movie I saw in the theater in about 6 months. And it was great, too. It might even be better than Train to Busan.
Wow.
So the really, really cool way of doing things. And it's almost a lot like Walking Dead. Like, what happens when the zombies aren't your biggest problem? It's the other humans and how they react.
Really?
And that's what Busan is like that. Yeah, and then Peninsula is like that as well. So I'm not sure what the director's name is, but it's really worth watching if you guys haven't seen it.
Well, I need to do a double feature now.
Yes. Okay, next, what you got?
I got one that might be on yours too.
Okay, let's see.
Sleepaway Camp 2.
Oh, wow. Good.
Is that on yours?
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
Well, then we agree. It's freaking amazing.
It's, yeah. I mean, I'll just jump in with you here on this one. What do you like about it?
I don't know. It's just like, it's so hard to explain what you like when you like movies sometimes. It's just like, it's just fun, you know?
And yeah.
I love the original, but this one is just very different and just a lot more interesting. The kills are funny. Angela's hilarious. And
it's kind of the epitome, of that style of horror movie in the 80s. So we're mentioning a lot of kind of the Silent Night, Deadly Night, and then a little bit more of a darker theme. But this is – it's still dark because, like you said, Angela Baker is nuts, played by Pamela Springsteen, who is Bruce's sister. And we've done a watch-along of Sleepaway Camp here, if you guys remember, with the Team Tiger Awesome guys. And it's one of those ones where I also grew up with it. I saw this in 1987.
Oh, wow.
So other people watching were like, are you kidding me? I'm like, dude, no, this is great. Maybe it's because you...
How can anybody not like it?
Like I said, the TNA is amazing.
Yes.
The kills are amazing. The Angela's just off her rocker. I still, one of my favorite moments is we get the famous reveal of all the dead bodies in the shed. And then, of course, there's a random appearance of a Flotsam and Jetsam album for no apparent reason.
There's a lot of random stuff like that, like the little tribute to like the killers,
Freddy
like
Jason. Yeah.
Like it's like, this is so cute and clever. I love it.
The theme song by Canada's own Anvil. And my all-time favorite kill, where the hot counselor who shows her boobs many times ends up getting stabbed in the back by Angela for being a slut, and then pushed with a stick down an outhouse to where she comes up with leeches all over her face.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in the contents of an outhouse, but I guarantee leeches are not living in it.
I mean, couldn't they be? Like, wow. Where do leeches live?
In
like
lakes and stuff.
Kind of thing?
Well, yeah, but they also
maybe live. She put them there. Would they live there?
Well, that's true. Maybe she, that was her leech collection.
Exactly.
And she I was also too like, listen, if I'm stabbed in the back and I'm getting pushed down by a stick, maybe I'll just like take a breath and just go underwater
pretend.
For a bit. And then
just like, oh, you got me.
Maybe she leaves, you know. It's terrible.
It's a hardcore death, man.
The fake flies. Like,
yeah.
Like, because the outhouse is infested with flies. And it's like, it's really good. Hopefully at some point, Joe Bob and Last Drive-In will do that one.
God, I hope so.
And we will sing the Yay! Happy Camper song.
Oh, I'm pushing for it so hard.
Hey, it's Rich Ward, the guitar player from Fozzy, and these are my three favorite horror movies on Talk is Jericho. Number one, John Carpenter's 1978 Halloween. It's the original slasher film. It's the introduction of the boogeyman, this character that they don't tell us anything about. There's no backstory. We don't know anything about him. And for that reason, we don't know how he can be beaten, how he can be destroyed. We just know he's evil. And we get to project all of our fears onto this lifeless face, that the classic Jim Kirk mask that has no expression. And as Dr. Loomis says, the blackest of eyes. I mean, without Halloween, we probably wouldn't have the Friday the 13th. We probably wouldn't have the entire slasher genre. If we did, it would look different. So bravo, Halloween 1978. My second favorite film is also a John Carpenter film. It's called Prince of Darkness. It's a kind of lesser known John Carpenter film, but I love it because it explores the nature of science and religion and how they can work together to conquer evil. And in this film, there is the Catholic priest who discovers a secret that the Catholic Church has been hiding in an old basement of Los Angeles diocese. And it's an incredible story because he knows that he has to warn the world that the Catholic Church has been hiding the emergence of the Son of Satan and the coming evil to infest the world. And he says that he can't prove this on his own because people wouldn't believe him because it was coming from a holy person. So he has to enlist the help of a local physicist that he had done a debate series with. It's a fantastic cast. And this physicist and this Catholic priest together go to figure out the secrets of, and to try to defeat evil. It's fantastic. I love this film. And then third, obviously Nightmare on Elm Street, the original. I think this film is fantastic. Freddy Krueger is an amazing bad guy. It's super frightening because he comes to you in your dreams where you're defenseless. And the whole idea of these kids not wanting to fall asleep because when they do, they know they're going to be killed. It's a fantastic story. I love it because it's Johnny Depp's first film. I love everything about this movie. It's great. Freddy Krueger, obviously Robert Englund, the way that he played the character was brilliant. I could watch this movie 10 times a year. So I hope you enjoyed my list. Obviously, John Carpenter topping the two with Wes Craven on my number three. Love you guys. Happy Halloween.
Here's why you should be getting Factor meals. They're always delivered fresh, never frozen. They're chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and delicious. They're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. And if you go to factormeals.com/TIJ50 and use my promo code TIJ50, you'll get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box. Plus, how good does this sound? Parmesan and sun-dried tomato chicken penne with roasted green beans. That's what I had last week before heading out to AEW. Factor makes eating delicious, quick, and easy, which is exactly what I need, especially on travel days. I ate it right out of the Factor packaging as well, so no cleanup afterwards. So you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need, and you can pause and reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. So head to factormeals.com/TIJ50 and use code TIJ50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's code TIJ50 at factormeals.com/TIJ50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
I said I know who it is.
Oh,
it's Jason Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees? You've been out in the sun too long. Jason Voorhees is dead. His body was cremated. He's nothing but a handful of ash.
You know that for sure, Mayor? Were you there? Did you see him cremated?
Jason Voorhees.
I can't believe this.
I will go with... I'm getting down to where I'm almost in order here. So my top three... Okay, so this is my fourth then. Friday 13th. Do you take a guess which one it might be?
The original.
New Beginning.
New Beginning?
Yes, I love New Beginning.
Ooh, that's controversial.
Yeah, well, that's, I'll tell you the reason why. I love the hottest girls, the coolest kills, in my opinion. I love the fact that Shavar Ross, a.k.a. Dudley, from Different Strokes, is in it. And we don't know if he lived or died. Reggie was his name. Once again, my daughter was watching this one with her. She's like, every time they like a character, he either dies or disappears. Like, where's Reggie?
Oh, he's great.
That's where Reggie's girlfriend, Reggie's brother's girlfriend gets killed.
Yes.
In the outhouse.
Yeah. We're on the outhouse kick right now.
Where they're singing to each other.
I know. Kick. It's so sweet.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, yes, baby.
See, that's heartbreaking, too.
And there's another great song in there, too, when the two terrible leather boys that look like the worst, like, Bowery boys. Rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tooey. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kick your ass. You really up this time, asshole.
Wow.
It's really bad. And then, of course, they slam the hood of the car down on him. But lots of great pretty girls and lots of great deaths. And I like it, too, because one of the controversial thing is it's not Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the controversy.
If it weren't for that, it would be, like,
all-time
pretty
classic.
Much perfect. Yeah. But that is a pretty big
but at that point,
negative.
At that point in time, Jason was already, like, how many? This is where they started getting crazy. Because final chapter... literally, Feldman chops them up in 100 pieces. And then New Beginning, they bring in a new killer, which people didn't like. So six, then you start going down the rabbit hole.
Mm.
You know?
Can you imagine, though, if you were excited to see a new Friday 13th movie when it came out in the theater, and then it turned out to be Roy, not Jason? It's just like, I can imagine being super pissed.
Good point. Who the f*** is Roy?
Exactly. Roy? I did not come here for Roy.
Jason Voorhees to Roy Smith?
Just not some cool dude.
All right. What's your next one?
Mayans Friday 13th Part 6.
Really?
Yes.
6 is up there for you?
Yeah, man. That did not start going downhill for me.
Wow. You liked Horshack getting killed at the beginning?
Yeah, it's an amazing opening, and it just keeps going. It's like it has more comedy than some of the others, which is why it's not I have another one higher than it, actually. But it's still, it's just really, really great.
Well, refresh my memory on what kind of the overall plot line of that one is.
This is when Corey Feldman's character is grown. In five, he's kind of like a creepy mental patient guy with glasses, you know? But in six, he's more of like the handsome,
I know,
cool
I can
guy.
See him in my head, yeah.
So he's like, oh yeah, he's so fun. But actually, if it weren't for him, none of it would have happened. He kind of brings Jason back because he's like so sure.
Well, yeah,
I know.
So they're back at the back at the camp.
He's like, I just have to make sure. He's at Jason's grave, and if it weren't for him, like all these people would be alive. But whatever.
He comes out of the grave with maggots all over him.
Yeah,
and, stuff.
Yeah, and I mean,
cool.
It looks amazing. Yeah, there's good, some amazing kills in it. It's really fun.
So they go back to the camp again.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's where it's
trying to think
is.
Of. I'm trying to think of one person who's in it. I don't know.
Tom Matthews, who is.
What character is it? Like, is there a tough guy, a hot guy, a hot girl?
Well, Tom Matthews is Tommy Jarvis in this.
Gotcha.
So he's like,
I can see him. I know who that is. I'm just trying
there's
to think.
There's not
of
really
who's...
any like.
How do they kill him? How do they kill Jason at the end? Is that with the motorboat or in the boulder?
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. That's a good ending.
And it's got the Alice Cooper song.
Ah, man behind the mask. Yes, yeah. So that's with the motorhome flips and stuff. And isn't the girl from Can't Buy Me Love in that movie? She's having sex with him in the motorhome with her shirt on.
Oh yeah,
Darcy,
oh my God, I forgot.
Something or other. Yeah, I had a huge crush on her when I was a kid because she's in Can't Buy Me Love. If you ever seen that movie,
I have. I love that one.
And she's one of Cindy's friends. And now you can envision because ever seen. I can't remember. She shows him one boob, and she goes, "There's only one titty as pretty as this one," and here it is, and shows him the other boob.
That was a classic moment for sure.
And Ronald McDonald Miller's like, "Isn't this great?" Wow, yeah, that was. I like the end of that one too, because once again, Jason is now floating at the bottom of the lake until he's not.
Exactly.
Was seven New York?
Seven? No, seven is. Holy crap.
Oh, that's the one with the...
Oh, the psychic.
The psychic, yeah.
I see.
Come on. Now you're getting down. And then they go to space and...
Seven's definitely not the best. And eight, I like a lot until kind of the end is really...
I'm saying six is where Jason jumped the graveyard.
How
that's
dare
my
you.
Opinion. Here's my thing, though. There's a great documentary on YouTube of this Friday the 13th documentary. And like it's 4.5 hours long. Like, and the funny thing is, like, I watched it during the pandemic, and that was 5 months ago. Yeah, Crystal Lake Memories. And they show a lot of kind of a rundown, about half an hour in each movie. And it's crazy. There's only 12. There has to be a 13th.
For sure.
But for some reason, they're not doing it. Maybe
they will.
They have to.
They will.
You know, and then that's not counting the remake that they did with the Will of Four. That one doesn't count.
Well, we could count it, and then we have our 13th.
No, it has to be part of the canon. So it's back to me now, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I'm at my one.
We're getting down to it now.
Yeah. Now I already said Sleepaway Camp. So if I'm going with my top four, I'll say Sleepaway Camp was four. And this is my top three. Now I can actually say these are my top three horror movies of all time. At number three, Omen 2, Damien Omen 2.
Over part one.
Over part one.
Wow.
Also a watch along done with Kevin Smith, who was also obsessed with this when he was a kid. And I'll tell you the reason why. This came out in 1982, and they started showing it on TV in 1983. So I was 12 years old, 13 years old at the most. Damien is 13 years old. You totally relate to this kid. And like, what if I was the Antichrist? And what if the Antichrist is, he said, which one of my friends is the Antichrist? You know, at the end, he goes to the school dance, and all the chicks are following him around. He's beating up the bullies, and he's outwitting the professor. And I'm like, what's not to love about this guy? You know, I wish I was the Antichrist.
I think that says a lot about you, sir.
But and once again, because I grew up with it, some great kills in it. And it's just one of those things. Everybody that finds out who Damien is gone in the next scene. And there's an elevator that cuts a guy in half, which I still think about whenever I'm in an elevator.
I do too.
And then there's a guy who gets trapped under ice, which is a great Metallica song. But imagine if you were trapped under ice, how terrible that would be. And the guy who Kazarian from the guy from MASH, who's climbing up the ladder as the poisonous gas is coming, he can't make it, and he dies. And it's just like Bugenhagen gets buried in the sand, and the other cat gets caught on the edge of a train as it hits up with another train and just impales him.
I always think of the bird kill, like the
yes,
when she gets pecked and then like, oh, help me, and then the
eyes
truck.
Get pecked
yes.
out. And here's another thing: my mom's best friend at this time frame was named Joan Hart.
No way.
That girl in that movie, the character is Joan Hart. I'm like, this is too much.
That freaks you out.
It's freaking me out. But just the only thing about it, when Kevin and I watched it, the ending is really lame. It just ends. And like nothing happens. Like Richard, what's his last? I can't remember his name. He's the guy that played Damien's father in this one. Richard Thorne. He was William... He was in Bridge Over the River Kwai. William Holden. He plays Damien's adopted dad. His brother was Robert Thorne, who was Damien's real dad, quote unquote. And at the end, his mom dies and his dad dies. And then Damien, like, what happens now? He just gets in the car with Murray, the chauffeur, and f***s off. Like, you can't just take over the business when you're 12. You know?
Well, he goes on to be president, so.
Exactly, and that one does not make the list. But okay. Still to this day, when I watch that movie, much like Sleepaway Camp 2 and the other two on this list, I watch it at least once or twice a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, what's your number three, if that's okay. Where we're at?
Yeah, and mine are in order now from here on out. So number three is Scream 2.
Mm. Really?
Yes.
That's interesting to me.
See, I don't know what... It'll be spoilers to talk about, but it's
you know, you can spoil it. The movie's 10 years old. No, you're allowed to spoil it.
I would.
We're discussing this as film critics.
Okay.
Not as
I think it's as perfect a sequel as they possibly could have made. Like, I had such high hopes for it, and it just met every single one.
Now, Scream 1, there was two killers. It was Skeet Ulrich and the other cat, right? Mm-hmm. The guy that was Scooby-Doo or Matthew Lillard, right? So who was it in Scream 2? Because I saw it too. I can't remember.
It was Billy's mother.
Oh.
And then Mickey, who is the guy from Justified. What's his name?
Oh, I can't remember.
Ah! Why are you blinking so hard right now?
They will tweet us and tell us whatever his name is.
People will be like, I can't believe you. Oh, Timothy Oliphant. There you go.
Timothy Oliphant.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
That's where I first... found out he existed. He was really he was really great and really creepy in that. And the chick from Roseanne is Billy's mom.
And Lauren something or other, or whatever her name is, I know you're talking about. Here's the thing with the Scream movies that was so refreshing, and that was the concept of the movie, is that after all of these, it's almost like when grunge came in and took over, you know, heavy metal. There was so much of it that it started getting, there were so many horror movies, and they started just becoming bastardized versions of themselves. Hot chick, have sex in the woods, get murdered, creepy serial killer, final
very
girl.
Formulated.
Yeah, last girl or final girl? Final girl, right? Final girl. So Scream came in and kind of turned all that on its ass. And I love that one scene. Was it Jamie Kennedy where he tells the rules of what not to do in a scary movie?
And it changed. It just like revitalized the whole genre. Like,
it really
did. It was kind of dying. People were kind of tired of it. It's just hard to believe, but it's just like
they took it on head on. It's great too, because that's a Wes Craven, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, so it's interesting to me that you have. Well, you didn't pick the original Nightmare, but did Wes do Dream Warriors? Okay, but it's definitely a Wes influenced movie
for sure.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm. Are you excited about Scream 5?
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I hope that they. I'm nervous excited, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm scared to see what they do with it, but also just glad that something new is coming.
We did a bit on AEW a few weeks ago where we asked David Arquette to be involved, and he said he couldn't because he's in the Scream bubble.
No!
Because in Hollywood, like, you get tested every day, and like, it's super serious if you're making a big-time movie. You know?
God, that's my dream. I would love to see him on there.
On AEW?
Yeah.
Oh, you will. We'll bring him on, yeah.
Hey, it's Ed Aborn from the heavy metal band Siren, here to share my top 10 favorite horror movies of all time. All right, starting at number 10, we've got Basket Case. How do you beat the story of two brothers who have been surgically separated, with one brother carrying around his mutant blob of a Siamese twin in a basket, seeking revenge on the doctors that separated them? It's over the top, it's campy, it's gritty, and I love it. Next up, number 9, The Toxic Avenger. One word, trauma. Even for 1984, this thing was politically incorrect. And that's saying something. So check it out. At number 8, we've got John Carpenter's The Thing. It's a straight classic. The story is amazing, and Rob Bottin's practical effects are legendary to this day. At number 7, we've got Sleepaway Camp. Now, being a teenager myself in the mid-80s, I've got a real soft spot for 80s movies that show teenagers from the time, and this movie is all about that. I'm not going to give away the ending, but I'll just say yikes. All right. At number six, I've got George Romero's Dawn of the Dead. Now, I've been a horror fan since I was a young kid, ever since I saw The Tingler when I was 6 years old and wouldn't sleep with my feet under the covers for the next 3 years. Loved horror, and I saw Dawn of the Dead in the theater when I was 13 years old, and it completely changed me. I recognized the importance and the magic that effects could play in a movie, and I really became enthralled with the wizard who did the special effects in Dawn of the Dead, Tom Savini. He's still a legend, and it's well-deserved. All right, number five. We've got 1986's Night of the Creeps. One thing I've always loved is the mixture of horror and humor, and Night of the Creeps hits the sweet spot perfectly. So many great scenes, great lines. Check it out if you haven't seen it, or watch it again if you have. All right, we're climbing the mountain. Number four, from Italian horror meister Lamberto Bava, we've got Demons. I saw this movie in the theater and was blown away not only by its story and effects, but by the fact that it had the most incredible heavy metal soundtrack of any movie I've heard. I mean, come on. Fast as a Shark by Accept is playing as a helicopter crashes through the theater ceiling and the heroes riding around on a motorcycle in the theater slashing up zombies with a samurai sword. Damn, makes me want to go watch it right now. Okay, at number three, we've got Reanimator. This is a movie that, again, mixes a little humor with its horror, but also keeps it dark, and the effects are incredible. Great performances by Jeffrey Combs and the delicious Barbara Crampton. And this is a movie that'll definitely redefine the term giving head. Check it out. You'll see what I mean. All right. This movie is number two, but it's anything but a piece of shit. Like I said, I love when a movie combines horror and humor. And Return of the Living Dead kills it. No pun intended. It's got old zombies, new zombies, half-dog zombies, and Linnea Quigley does the absolute best cemetery striptease you will ever see. Period. All right. We've reached the top of the mountain. At number one, The Evil Dead. This movie changed the game, not only for me, but for the industry in general. There's a reason I have a life-size statue of Ash from Army of Darkness in my media room. This movie just set the tone for what horror would become in the 80s. I remember seeing it for the first time, and it had kind of a quiet start, didn't know what to think. But man, as soon as that pencil jammed into that ankle, it was a roller coaster ride for the rest of the movie, and it's one that I haven't gotten off of since. And while I enjoy Evil Dead 2, which was kind of a retelling with a better budget, and Army of Darkness, which definitely amped up the humor, there's just something special about the original. And Sam Raimi's just innovative style and camera work, and Bruce Campbell's portrayal of Ash and his willingness just to go through hell for this movie just have a special place with me. All right, that's it. My top 10 horror movies. Again, this is Ed Aborn from the band Siren. I want to thank Chris Jericho, who's a walking encyclopedia of both horror and heavy metal trivia. Have a great Halloween.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So what kook are we moving tonight?
Michael Myers.
All right, so top two.
Down to the nitty-gritty.
Down to the nitty-gritty. And I thought my original was going to be number one, but I'm going to flip-flop the script here.
Whoa.
Number two, John Carpenter's Halloween.
Number two?
Yes. Hmm. Still, to me, the second scariest movie of all time. The scariest kind of real-life movie, because, once again, this could actually happen. The kills are all basically off-screen. You don't see much.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know that I've ever thought about
it. But if you don't, in the shadows, when the boyfriend gets – the best thing is the boyfriend goes for beer and Michael Myers picks him up, yeah, and stabs him, where the guy's stuck there. Like, that's what really gets me about that movie. And the suspense is through the f***ing roof. You know, but, and then people forget how it starts. And we've discussed this on Last Drive-In. How does the movie start? With a little kid in a clown outfit murdering his sister and her sister's boyfriend. While they're having sex.
And that's why when you guys asked me, like, what's your theory on Michael Myers? Well, he's the evil incarnate and this. I'm like, nah, I'm not buying that. Why is he doing this?
Dude, you broke it down.
And I went and Googled, like, what the Greek word is for having a crush on your sister or love in love with your sister, whatever that's called. I said he's got a case of, you know, Parascavata, catcherophobia, whatever it was.
A really long word.
And I said he is a guy, a kid, that was in love with his sister, doesn't understand what sex is, but understands that her sister is doing something dirty with this other boy. So she must love this other boy more than she loves me. So I'm going to kill this other boy and I'm going to kill my sister because if I can't have her, nobody will. So then the entire human race to this guy, all women are his sister that deserve to die for turning on him. And all men are guys that want to, you know, do what they did to his little sister, his big sister. And to me, that makes sense. I like that.
No, that meaning, like, it makes me look at it completely different when you put it like that. I always just bought the whole, oh, he's evil incarnate, whatever. But you put that whole other level on it.
And they might have even never thought of that. But, you know, I just thought that was pretty cool.
It's very possible, though, and that changes the way you see it.
Why does he have to kill everybody? Why? What is it? Well, that could be it. You know, maybe Loomis knew that.
Do you like the Jamie Lee Curtis's sister storyline, or do you like it better not?
The original idea was that Jamie Lee Curtis was his sister, correct? Mm-hmm. But now, currently in Halloween,
they
kills
away that.
And what do they say? She's adopted now.
I think she's just nothing.
They took that away.
Yeah, completely.
I thought she was waiting.
That's part
for
of why
him.
I hate it. She was because he killed her friends and stuff. But like,
they don't say she's a sister. They just dropped that. They must have had an explanation for it.
She was traumatized by everything, so she was just waiting for. Like, I think it's again the evil incarnate thing.
And but so Judith Myers. She's
not
Laurie Strode
anymore
because she went up to other parents, like in the movie, right? In the Halloween, she's Laurie Strode. So, because we didn't find out he was his sister
until part two.
Okay, didn't they also just say that nothing happened after part one for this?
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
I gotcha.
They got rid of everything, including that.
Okay, so. I agree with what you're saying. It's a giant cop out, but if that's the rules they're laying down, then I'll go with them.
I refuse to go with them. They are brother and sister.
Pshaw. All right, what's your number two?
My number two is Friday the 13th Final Chapter.
All right.
I didn't want to do two from the same series, but I just love that series so much.
I did.
So good.
I did. I had two omens.
I know.
So I figured you'd go for this one because you like this one the most.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite. It's my second favorite movie ever, not just horror. Like, it's the first horror movie I ever saw, actually, and just hooked from there. It's like, wow, you get boobs, you get carnage. Like, it's the first movie I was not too chicken to sit through because I was like, I had a huge crush on Corey Feldman, like, right. Way late. And so I was going back and watching everything that he did. So I got my hands on a copy of that, and I was like, I have to see it through. I have to know what happens to Corey. And I made it through, and I felt like a freaking rock star. Like, man, Jason ain't gonna get me. And like, it was just amazing. So from then on, it was just like,
I gotta be honest. I originally had New Beginning written down until I went back and looked through the plot and kind of read them both.
Final Chapter.
Yeah, I read. Sorry, Final. Yeah, Final Chapter is what I meant. Yeah, I had Final Chapter on there first, and then I went over to New Beginning only because of Reggie and because of a couple other things like the Ratatatatatatouille. I just remember that more, but watching Final Chapter, it's really good.
It's really good,
and he's like Crispin Glover is just ridiculous in it, and dead. Also he's a dead.
Yes.
And then he gets stabbed with a corkscrew.
Yes.
And they kills the kid's mom, and like it's heavy
hardcore
stuff.
And it has that scene where he's like sliding down the machete at the end. That's just
right.
Like it's so hardcore looking. I love it.
And that's when Feldman shaves his head.
Yeah.
Which as the teenage heartthrob, you're like, what? And they left some strands and
it
shit. That's gotta be Tom Savini on that one.
It
I
was
imagine.
Freaky looking, but it was like very powerful to me.
Really
when
well
saw
done.
It.
Yeah, really. And that's also too was a really good looking guy who gets his head crushed in the shower. Is that Peter Barton is his name?
Oh yeah.
He was in The Powers of Matthew Starr. He had a show in the 80s and gets his head crushed in the shower.
There's some it's
at least they let them finish having sex before they kill
them
for the most
Jason's
part.
Jason's like really nice about that.
I do love though, and I forgot to mention it in New Beginning where they're having sex in the forest. Chick is super hot, and then she's like basking in the sun.
Her name's Voorhees.
What's
her,
that?
Her last name's Voorhees.
For real?
Yeah, like in real life.
Wow, she was destined to do that part.
Yeah.
He stabs the garden shears down and then puts them together, cut from stabs the garden shears through her eyes and then rams them shut. So I'm assuming it would cut through her like nose, like whatever your middle of your eye.
Yeah. That one's so hard.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, good stuff in Final Chapter. And the producer wanted to end the series after that. And if he had wanted to end the series, that would have been a great way to end it. But money talks, bullshit walks, as Bobby Fleckman says, and they had to continue forward. So is this, are we down to number one now?
I think we are.
Oh my gosh, what if we have the same one?
I bet we don't.
Okay. I guess I'll go first.
Okay.
My number one horror movie that I just flipped as we were watching, as we were doing this show, is John Carpenter's The Thing.
Okay.
And let me explain the reason why. First of all, Wilford Brimley passed away this year. God bless him. It's so funny because he was like, I don't know, 80 years old or something like that. He was 46 in The Thing and looked exactly the same as he did when he died.
So true.
How the f*** that happened? Kurt Russell, one of my all-time favorites, played R.J. McCready. And the reason why this movie to me is so good, first of all, the effects from Rob Bottin are amazingly insane. When that head comes up as a spider, once again, I show this to my poor daughters. They flipped out. When they go to do the heart thing and then the whole body cavity just opens, turns into a giant mouth. I mean, it's just crazy. But it's not amazing. But not only that, the story is so good because the alien can exist. And unless the entire human colony and all living things get wiped out, this alien could then infect the entire human race. And that's why at the very beginning, this one lone dog, and they didn't get it in time. The very end of the movie is...
It is so great. And I think a lot of people would have that on like the greatest ever made for sure.
Because once again, it's very slow, but the end is so great where it's McCready and it's Keith David. I can't remember what his name is in the movie. And they're just sitting there. Everyone else is dead and there's just the two of them. They basically said before, if this thing lives until the fall, when the next crew comes, we're all done. So they're sitting there and everything is blown up and dead and they're either going to freeze to death... Or one of them is the thing, and they're going to live until the fall and then kill the entire human race, right? And the best line, the last line is, like, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's just sit here for a while, see what happens. The end. I love that.
That's so good. I think that probably is our number one most requested for The Last Drive-In.
Could you get it? I mean, it's pretty high class, it would seem, right?
I know, exactly. Like, if we ever could, we'd show it in a heartbeat, but I think whoever has a right
to... Anything where you get into that high up the food chain. I mean,
that's hard.
And once again, the two top movies for me are John Carpenter, and both the tones are the same. The suspense is the same. Thing has much more gore, but the soundtracks, everything. And once again... I got to start picking better movies for my twins to watch, but like, they hate it because there's no ending. And I'm like, but there is
they
an ending.
They hate it? No way.
Well, because they want to see an ending where it's like, rubber stamp, here's the end.
I can get that, yeah.
You know what I mean? But this one is wide open. Let's just sit here for a while, see what happens. We don't know what happened. You instantly in this day and age go online and look up all the different theories of what it could be stuff, you know? So, what do you think?
Very good choice. Have you ever seen John Carpenter live, by the way? His music?
No.
Oh, it's so good. You have to go check that out.
Does he have a keyboard or something? Or?
Yeah, he does this whole like stage show where he shows like clips of his movies and plays his like synth music and stuff. And it's awesome.
Well, once again, he's the guy that, you know, he wrote the theme for Halloween.
So good. Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. It's as good as Jaws.
I'm surprised Jaws wasn't on your list.
It could be. I don't really consider that a horror movie per se. It could be. But to me, I was going more
straight horror
out there. Yeah. I mean, because Jaws, it's like top 10 movies of all time. Mm-hmm. Jaws
very dramatic.
Top three for me. And the characters and all that stuff. And the last thing I just want to say about The Thing is that I love, love, love the fact that you never know who has it and who doesn't, because it just like that. That's the thing, the paranoia. Once again, it's not the fact that there's a thing, an alien invading. It's the fact of what the other guys do in response to that. And everyone just, you know, they're putting Blair goes into the shed and this fucking guy is going over here and everyone has to do their blood tests, you know, all that. There's that great scene. So just amazing stuff from John Carpenter, and that's another movie that if you have not seen that and you listen to this podcast, go watch it now.
For sure. 2000%.
All right.
So my number one, I feel like I kind of gave it away already, but Scream.
Wow, really?
It's my favorite movie ever made
of all time.
History, yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's just, the first time I saw it, I was just mind blown. Like, one, like, they can have two killers? That's crazy. And, like, it kept you guessing, like, constantly. And the rules, like we said, it just changed everything. And I love everything about it. The soundtrack on that is amazing. I still play it, like,
is there, like, the big bands on that, or is it just the music?
It's just the music. I think it was, like, indie 90s bands or something. Not really anybody on it. But it's still, like, it's really, really good. It honestly inspired me to move to L.A. when I was in South Carolina. I was like, one day, man, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to make horror movies like this somehow, because this is just amazing. Like, I'm living for Scream right now because it's just so good. And all these years later, it's still just so good.
So we've discussed it a little bit, but just getting a little bit deeper as to why you love this movie so much and why it's your favorite movie of all time. Not just horror.
It just, it influenced me so much. It just was so unexpected, so genre changing, and just it's, the opening scene is literally just like,
so
no
iconic.
Matter how many times you see it, it's just so, like, I don't know. It
gripping.
Gets you. Yeah, it's just.
You know what I loved about that too is it's a huge star in Drew Barrymore who's only at the very beginning. Like, how did they convince her to do that? Because she's a leading lady.
It was
lady.
Her idea.
Oh, she just wanted the very beginning.
Yeah, she wanted to surprise people. And it was kind of like, you know, the way they did
gotcha.
Psycho.
Right.
So it's like, people aren't going to see this coming. And so it was totally her call. And what a great call. Like, when she died, I was like, huh? Like, kept waiting for her to come back. I'm like, maybe that was like a trick or something.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
The whole time you're guessing, trying to figure out. Never did I guess that, like, I mean, originally you think Billy's the killer, but then it's like he proves that he's not with that whole little fake death thing. It's like, well, who the heck is it now? It's like, it's got to be Casey coming back, and it so wasn't.
But that's Craven, though. Isn't that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his masterpiece to me.
You know, it's interesting, too. I just love, because when I'm thinking about that, it's like when I think about the opening scene, I get it. And this is how iconic it is. I get it mixed up with Scary Movie with Carmen Electra.
How dare you?
But I'm just saying, because that's like they ripped that off completely for their movie, because that was the scene that everyone was talking about, you know?
Scary Movie did an amazing job copying it. Like, every little detail, they paid attention. Like, I wanted to be mad at them, especially because I love Dewey so much, and they made fun of him so bad with Doofy. Stop it. I wanted to be mad, but I'm like, y'all like, rock that.
He was from the short bus for sure, that guy.
He's actually working on the Last Drive-In Live thing that we're doing.
Really?
He's plays a part in it.
That's great.
I know. I'm like, Doofy.
Who was the big star that was in the beginning of number two?
Jada Pinkett.
Oh.
And Omar Epps. Her death in two was just
that was at the theater,
scene.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. I want to watch them now. They're so good.
You know, it's funny, too, because there's another movie that I should have put on this list, but I didn't. Talking about Hostel.
Oh, I love Hostel.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like I said, any of these movies can interchange with the rest, but I just wanted to mention it because what you said that was really cool is that you didn't see it coming. And that's one of the best things with Hostel was, is that it was almost like a rom-com. The teenagers having sex,
and
that's all great.
Holy
and then suddenly, it's buddy's head on a platter. Here he is. And then you pull back and he's dead.
So, you know, and the deaths are so hardcore.
Yeah.
And just like.
And Eli said that I think Tarantino was involved in that as an executive producer, and they were going through it. And he's like, the most likable guy has to die first. Because no one will see it coming. That was the J. Rodriguez. He's kind of an asshole. And the, you know, Ollie, like, you know, of course my horse, he's kind of like a fucking studly guy. But this other guy was just kind of the nerdy, like, just everyday boy next door. And he's the one that dies possibly the worst death out of all of them right off the bat. You know?
I love, by the end, you love J. Rodriguez, though. Rodriguez, that's his name?
Yeah, I think it's J. Rodriguez, yeah. We could be wrong.
But he's like...
At the end, but at the beginning, he's kind of the dick, right?
It takes
right?
a while
yeah.
to warm
but the
up.
Point
but
being
he's
is
like
they,
a freaking superhero at the end. But then part two does him so wrong.
He's out right at the end, too.
I know.
But, and that's why we love horror movies, because you just never know what's happening, never know what's going to happen. As we wind down here, is there any movies upcoming that you're looking forward to? Besides Scream 5, is there anything in the pipeline?
Terrifier 2.
Oh, nice. Little, it's a secret. We can't say anything
okay,
about it.
Okay, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a little more fantastic than the first, kind of going into more arts, like his background and how he was able to keep coming back alive again. And whatever it is.
What they do with it.
Yeah. I mean, after we've seen Jason Voorhees and all of his resurrections, as long as you do it right, I'm cool with it. Right?
And the Candyman remake, I was really bummed that they had to postpone that. But when it comes out, I'm going to be like, see it.
And
right
I know,
away,
I know sure. You didn't like it because they eliminated the canon, but the last Halloween, I really dug it because Jamie Curtis is such a badass. And Halloween Kills, I'm excited to see.
But she's like a badass that didn't have to be. Like, she wasted her whole life waiting for something that might never happen. Like, it just
that you know. Hey, you listen, and you're right. You could poke holes in any horror, but I love your the point of like. So she spent 40 years
just waiting
in a booby trapped house, just hoping that Jason would show up.
She was just a nutcase, and she got lucky that he came out. But like by the time he did, he's just some old dude. Like, just shoot him. Like, you didn't have to do.
How old is this fucking guy?
Right,
he's exactly. Like,
Whatever, it bothers me.
Whatever. Good stuff, though, and we're excited to see some more Last Drive-Ins coming up.
Thank you guys.
Are doing a great job, and if you haven't seen the show, go on Shudder and subscribe to it just for Last Drive-In like I do, because it's worth
it.
But happy Halloween, everybody.
Yay, happy Halloween.
And if you're looking for something to do, we just gave you 20 things that you can work on.
Go do a marathon.
Right now.
What do we do?
Why don't we just... wait here for a little while. See what happens.